Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Morning, DA. Let me get that beam up, brother.
All right.
You, sir, are notorious for spitting hot fire, and once again, here we are, melting.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Now, wait a minute.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network on all of our terrestrial affiliates in your neighborhood. Also, SiriusXM Channel 206 on satellite, 206. And watch us at watchda.com on your phone or any device, watchda.com. Joining us is an intrepid NBA reporter. He is a polished NBA host, and he is an elite NBA debater. His name is Jared Greenberg, and NBA TV is lucky to have him. And he joins us this morning on the show. Jared, good morning.
Lucky. So lucky. DA, it's great to be back with you. I know things are about to go south when you start to suck up to me as soon as I come on.
This seems to be the way that it goes. I'm really nice early, and then you're really mean late.
Most people who know me would say I'm just mean all the time, so I appreciate that compliment.
So we have this news that Kawhi Leonard had a conversation with Magic Johnson,
and Magic
spills the beans on everything. And it seems like Kawhi's camp wants things airtight. Do you think Magic just ruined things for the Lakers?
No, because I don't believe that there was ever a serious traction with Kawhi going to the Lakers. Nobody knows what Kawhi is thinking. Nobody, right? So anybody who says that they have insight into what Kawhi specifically is doing is just clueless, because they are doing an incredible job of keeping this airtight, which I really respect. I think it's incredible. And they're not taking a long time to do this, which July 3rd, we're in the third day of free agency, right? So just because people jump the gun quick doesn't mean that he's taking a long time. With that said, I just find it funny that the only quote-unquote rumors that we're hearing is only from Lakers camp. Haven't heard a peep from the Clippers, haven't heard a peep about the Raptors. And for the last 12 months, the quote-unquote favorite has been the Clippers. And over the last 6 months, we have now included the Raptors into the conversation. And now all of a sudden, because the Lakers got Anthony Davis and created this cap space, but have really no one else other than Kyle Kuzma, now they're the preferred destination? Come on! And the fact that Magic Johnson goes out there And we're only hearing this, and listen, I spoke to Brad Turner, the reporter from the LA Times. We had him on NBA TV, the guy who broke the story about what Magic said to Kawhi. The fact that we're only hearing the propaganda from Magic's side, that it just sounds like when you're hearing it from one side that, yes, he asked about what I said nationally into the media about the Lakers backstabbing, and I said, well, that's just family. Well, how do we know how they took that comment? And the fact that you would even admit that they're asking that goes to show that they're aware of the dysfunction just like everyone else.
Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, joins us here on the show. I almost wondered if diabolically the Kawhi camp went into a meeting with Magic and the Lakers, knowing they were probably going to talk about it because the Lakers can't keep anything in-house, knowing it was going to come out, to give them the cover of not having to go there. Do you think that could be possible?
Yeah, but I also think it speaks to a bigger picture, right? And DA, as you know, I covered a lot of the Raptors this postseason. And what they stressed to me, people in the organization, about what they learned of Kawhi and what they thought would ultimately be important about him was trust. And you've heard Masai Ujiri talk about this publicly a lot, where it's trust from mostly about taking care of his body and how Alex McKechnie, the famed director of sports science for the Raptors, managed that whole situation with getting him to the point where he was arguably the best player throughout the entire playoffs in the NBA this year, and obviously finals MVP. But trust on how he deals with the media, trust on how he does appearances. It's a full trust factor where if the Lakers are going out and leaking these stories, and specifically Magic Johnson, who right now has nothing to do, you know, on a real basis with the Lakers, is leaking this, then how can Kawhi trust the Lakers to manage his body, his media appearances, his public appearances for the next 4 years, right? Like, so this is kind of a microcosm of the dysfunction that he may not want to deal with for the long term.
I couldn't agree more. And so that's why when everybody is connecting him to the Lakers and saying they're the favorite, they're the front runner, I just keep saying if Kawhi makes his decision personally, now maybe he has Team Kawhi that pushes him to the big brand of the Lakers or wants him with the Lakers. If it's about Kawhi's wants, he would run away from the Lakers like a burning building. There's nothing about the Lakers that fits his personality. From what we know, having covered the Raptors, how protective were the Raptors of him throughout the regular season, media appearances, access, and things like that?
So I'll say this. I think that they were protective to a certain extent to not smother him or protect him where he's hidden. Like, I felt way more access to Kawhi when he was on the Raptors than I ever did with the Spurs.
Huh.
You know, there was a year, I guess it would have been 2 years ago, you know, the year before Kawhi only played the 9 games, when he was an MVP candidate. And I think I covered the Spurs that year in person in San Antonio, either somewhere between 4 and 6 games I did. And in many of those games, it was the company I work for, Turner Sports, had the national rights to that game. And Kawhi had phenomenal games. He was, like I said, he was an MVP. I think he finished second or third in the MVP voting that year. And we never got access to speak to him, ever. Like, they were so protective of him to the point where it's like, you don't even know whether he wants to speak. In Toronto, he was made available way – I feel like we heard more from Kawhi, and we joke and listen. We can have fun with how much he says or what he says or the tone he uses when he speaks or how literal he is. But I feel like I heard way more of Kawhi's voice over the last 12 months than I ever did his entire career in San Antonio.
I would agree. I mean, and I don't know, maybe a lot of this was mandated NBA access, but I thought specifically through the playoffs and certainly the NBA finals, I was kind of shocked at how yeah. much Kawhi was available. But is that just an NBA mandate?
No, I mean, I think that he does, obviously, there is times, there is protocol of when you have to make players available. But I also feel like there was other sit-downs that Kawhi was willing to do because the Raptors worked with him and he agreed to do certain things. I think the Spurs mentality is, no, our guys don't want to do it and we're not going to even ask him. Mm.
Jared Greenberg joins us this morning here on the show from NBA TV. What's the biggest reason Boogie Cousins has no market?
Well, it's crazy. You know, I think the two things that really stick out to me are the fact that the Celtics went with Enes Kanter real quick into the free agency period, and then last night we learned that the Warriors are going to sign Willie Cauley-Stein, who, you know, from Kentucky and played his first couple of years in the NBA with Sacramento and had a nice career, and I think he'll be a pretty good NBA player. But the fact that the Celtics, who were desperate for big men help, like right now Enes Kanter is their only viable big man who is can be played in a regular rotation at the NBA level on their roster, and they went with Enes Kanter. And the fact that the Warriors, they were able to bring back Looney, so that was a big part of it for them, but they have internal knowledge. They have institutional knowledge about DeMarcus Cousins, and they didn't go with him. I don't know whether he is stubborn to the point, and I don't know this, whether he's stubborn or not, but maybe he feels like he's deserving of a multi-year deal of a big-time contract, which obviously he was ticked off he didn't get last summer, and quote-unquote settled for a one-year deal with the Warriors. But ultimately, it's not at this point, it's not even so much like where is he going to go? Who's got the money to pay him multi-years? That's the issue. All this money, because about, 70 players already have signed over the first two-plus days of free agency, that there's not much money to pay this guy. The one thing that I have not heard this, but I wouldn't be surprised, is if the team that loses out on Kawhi, whether it's the Lakers or Clippers, I would have to think we would hear one of those two teams be in the mix, only for the simple reason that they've got a ton of money to spend, and there's not many players to go spend it on.
That's interesting. So maybe because he took a haircut last year, he's not willing to do the same thing this year. He had kind of mentally convinced right. himself that this year he was going to get a multi-year deal, and he's not going to sign anywhere unless he gets that.
No doubt. Now, I just don't see, unless it's the Lakers at this point, who, if they, assuming the Lakers miss out on Kawhi, it's really them and the Dallas Mavericks that have the money to be able to give him that type of deal. And if it was going to be Dallas, why wouldn't they have done it already?
So one final part about Dallas. There's obviously a narrative in Dallas that Mavericks fans are really frustrated that the Mavericks can never sign big-time free agents. I would always assume that would be a pretty good destination. Mark Cuban likes to spend. They've won a championship recently. They've been in NBA Finals. There's no state income tax in Texas. Why does Dallas always strike out?
I don't know, and I've really been giving this a lot of thought the last couple of days, DA, because from the people I was speaking to leading into Sunday's start of free agency, unequivocally, everyone said their dark horse for making a real big splash this summer was going to be Dallas for a couple of reasons. Dallas, like the Clippers, and I guess to a certain extent like the Nets, was a team that had a whole boatload of money to spend and really good foundation pieces already set. You would have thought, based on watching last year in the NBA, if you watched Luka Doncic, if you didn't, you missed out on a treat. I mean, he's one of the more exciting players in the league to watch and one of the more promising young players, one rookie of the year, that players would have clamored to go play with him. And as you said, Dallas is a city people enjoy going to. Mark Cuban's a guy players talk about all the time, how much they like and respect him and how well-treated players are in that organization. The thing that surprised me was I thought Al Horford would have been a good option for them, and I was surprised that he landed in Philadelphia. But I'm really stunned right now that Dallas is stuck with all this money, and they have really not spent it on much at all.
Yeah, it's wild because Mark Cuban is the best salesman ever for his own personal brand. He's got such right. visibility, and for some reason he just cannot simply sell the Mavericks organization to players, and that – it goes against, it's very counterintuitive knowing what Mark Cuban has built and everything. I just don't understand it. But this has happened almost every year where they've wanted somebody big and they just have struck out, right?
Yeah, it has. And to be honest, though, most of the guys that we look back on over the last 5 to 7 years that they've struck out on have ended up being good that they didn't get them, right? DeAndre Jordan, I would say his career kind of took a little bit of a nosedive since that whole fiasco where he verbally committed and backed out. They wanted Dwight Howard, couldn't get him. Wanted Carmelo Anthony, couldn't get him. Wanted Chris Bosh, couldn't get him. Like, all of those guys are now essentially out of the league. So, with the exception of Dwight Howard, who still somehow, some way is getting paid by the Washington Wizards for another year.
Yeah.
But the fact that they've missed out on those guys almost worked out to be much better for them.
Jared, you're way more in the NBA in the league than Dwight Howard is right now.
Well, how about this? Ready? This is the question I've been asking a lot of people. I'm curious your take on this. Who plays more games in the NBA from now until the end of eternity? Dwight Howard or Carmelo Anthony?
Dwight Howard by a nose. I mean, just by a little. I mean, Carmelo's probably never going to suit up again. If he plays, he's going to play less than 20 or 30 games, I think.
DA, be careful. The Lakers have to have a 17-man roster. Okay, and right now there are not enough players in the NBA in free agency for them to sign without considering Carmelo Anthony. I'm telling you, Carmelo to the Lakers looks like it is a foregone conclusion.
He will be running Gatorade and Powerade to LeBron. That's essentially going to be his job if they sign him. Jared Greenberg joining us this morning on the show from NBA TV. Follow him on Twitter, Jared S. Greenberg, for the latest on his takes and his thoughts on the NBA free agency. This was really good. We didn't even have to fight this time around.
That feels a little weird. I don't know how the rest of my day is going to go now.
Yeah, next time we'll book you, I'll find something that you hate me for.
All right, DA, we're off to Vegas for Summer League. Maybe I'll speak to you out there from the desert.
Yeah, you guys got full coverage of Summer League coming up, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a bunch of play-by-play starting Friday.
Oh, very nice.
I'm really excited, DA, for Vegas Summer League. The Zion effect, the people who run Vegas Summer League, Warren Legarry and those people, had to announce a week ago, and I'm not exaggerating, a week ago, and I've never seen this before. We've had games that have been sold out for Summer League in the past, especially when Lakers have had high lottery picks over the last couple of years. But never before had they had to announce a week in advance that the first day of Summer League out in Vegas is sold out.
Wow.
Because of Zion Williamson.
That is awesome. Very cool. Yeah. So watch NBA TV for Jared Greenberg on the call doing play-by-play of NBA Summer League. Great stuff, man. Go get him. Can't wait.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Okay. Jared Greenberg joining us this morning here on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.